It's a critic of thoughts and intents of the heart. All Scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Study to show yourselves approved unto God, a workman that does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. All right, moving on here, and I'm going to do my very best to blast through this so that we can start back with Romans tomorrow night. We'll see. All right. In regards to the principle of prayer, there are various promises in the Scripture that you should claim as a believer. The Word of God is filled with promises to the believer. And it is important that you know what those promises are so you can claim them in various situations. This is not directly related to prayer, it is indirectly. Psalm 37, a command. Verse 4, delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Now, that's a big deal. Delight yourself in the Lord means you are occupied with Him and the plan of God at a high level. And if you are, and to that extent, legitimate desires of your heart will be granted to you as is appropriate in time. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He will do it, or He will bring it to pass. There are some things you don't have to do anything. You don't have to lift a finger. God will work it out. Okay, moving on. We might have already gave this one. First Peter. Five, six, and seven. I've given you this one, but this is so good and it's so important. Things you know, no doubt, but things you need to keep in mind. There's a lot of exhortations in the Bible relative to the way the Christian is supposed to conduct himself, herself, in the plan of God. After giving some information regarding to the gift of pastor teacher and what you should and should not do as a pastor teacher to ensure that you get the unfading crown of glory. Other awards and decorations fade. They get put on a shelf, put in a museum, put in whatever, and they fade away. The glamour and the glory of it lasts for however long, and then while they may still continue to exist, they fade. You younger men, likewise, be subject to your elders. And all of you, clothe yourselves with humility towards one another. For God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you at the appropriate time, casting all your anxiety on Him, because He cares for Him. The background to this is that you're under some kind of duress or testing, and you hang in there with the plan of God in the midst of that test and see it through. God will eventually exalt you. We have example after example in the Bible of individuals who are put in situations that were not pleasant, if you will, that were testful, and they didn't react and go a different way. They stuck in there with God's plan, and He vindicated them or He exalted them before their enemies, before their friends. In Matthew 21:22, And all things you ask in prayer, believing, we'll get to that in a minute, you will receive. Again, this emphasizes the fact that because you offer up a prayer, if you don't believe it can happen or will happen, then it won't happen until you can get where you can do this properly. Matthew 7:7, ask and it shall be given to you. Sometimes it's just a simple thing, like you might ask somebody for something and boom, there it is. Some things are quick because it's in the moment and it's something you ask God for. Bless my day on the job. Whatever you got to do. Doesn't take that long. And it shall be given to you, and seek, and you shall find. Some things are more long term. Knock, and it will be opened. James 1:5, if you lack understanding or wisdom, ask, and you'll be given the answer. People have told me over and over, I had a question about so-and-so. I came to Bible class. And lo and behold, you addressed it. Go figure. The ministry of God, the Holy Spirit. It was because I knew you had this question. It's just the way this, the dynamics of this all works out. But of course, this believer was thinking about some spiritual issue and had a question with regard to it and waited and came to class. Not that you couldn't get it some other way, but that's how it worked out. In group prayer, Matthew 18:19-20, where two or three are gathered together in His name. There's a dynamic related to prayer with groups when done appropriately. Hindrances to effective prayer. Prayer will be hindered. Doesn't mean necessarily that there's no prayers going to be answered, but they can be blunted or hindered. If you, in that 1 Peter 3:7 passage, if as a married couple you are at odds with one another, lack of domestic harmony. Yeah, you're going to have differences. You're going to get under your STA. But you need to get over it and not continue to perpetuate it. And that's why that verse comes out, that your prayers may not be hindered. Okay, be not a fellowship under your STA, obviously. That's not the position in which you launch off a prayer. Be not a fellowship. Now, I have to be careful with this. Some of the Psalms reflect the fact that the believer is struggling, and he's struggling before God, but at least he's trying. But just Psalm 66:18, if I regard wickedness in my heart, the Lord will not hear. That's a shutdown. Carnality. Wrong content. Well, that's an obvious one too. It has to be sponsored by doctrine. You can ask God for things. Obviously, you can ask God for things. In a lot of different situations. He's your spiritual parent in heaven. He either say yes, no, or later. Like a child might ask a parent for a bowl of ice cream. Right after you eat supper, you can have your bowl of ice cream. So that would illustrate that. There's a time and place for everything. And okay, I gave you this one. This would indicate an extreme. A person that has gone off, as they say, the reservation. Completely gone off track spiritually. Turns away from listening to sound doctrine. He who turns away his ear from listening to the law, we would say the word of God. The law was for Israel in the Old Testament. Even his prayer is an abomination. And wrong intent. James 4:3. You're under your lust pattern and you're asking God something that's sponsored from your lust pattern. Now, obviously, there's a difference between that. You could be asking for the same thing and do it in the right way, and it'd be okay. God, I need, you might ask him, I need a new vehicle. Well, I would like a new vehicle. You don't necessarily need it, as in mine's completely unrepairable and not worth sinking any money into. Or, I just want a new car. It's a desire of my heart. And I pray and I'll wait on you. It doesn't mean you can't look here and there. It doesn't mean he's going to drive it into your driveway. Could, but likely you're going to stumble across something, a series of events, and boom, you get your new vehicle. As any of us can testify that's waited on the Lord, it doesn't mean you can't look. You can't go shopping. You can't do some research. That isn't lunging. Lunging is, I'm going to get this no matter what, and any barriers God throws in the way, you just over. Now, again, this is the part. In regards to things, that there is Ecclesiastes. There's a time. There's timing. There's a time for this to happen. And, of course, a car is generally a big purchase, a significant purchase. And you don't want to be under your STA and it just happens. We've gone car shopping, and one place, I just didn't feel right about it. It was just something I didn't feel right. And if I didn't feel right, then not here, not now. And then another situation came up, and a set of circumstances. And we drove out on a Monday and found a car over here at Diffie, a real nice 2004 Lincoln, and it was just perfect. Everything was perfect about it. The whole deal went real smooth. So, again, it might be something really big, a house. You definitely want to pray on that. And your prayer ought to be, if I'm not supposed to go here, versus here, shut it down. That's a prayer too. Shut it down. Or you may need new types of employment. God, bring it to me. You may have certain talents, may apply at certain places, and all the rest. But you'll have the right feeling if it's the right place and the right time. If you're in fellowship and you've prayed about it at all. He wants to bless you, but he wants to teach you patience and waiting on him. James, these believers were his responsibility. And of course, there was a lot of churches, apparently, in Israel at the time. And he gets all this report with regard to the conditions and some of the things that were going on, and some of the antics that they were involved in. So what can a pastor do but address these issues? In other words, to rebuke them and point out the error of their way so they can make the correction and get where they need to be. James is another example of a book. If you don't know the background, you can't appreciate the book. If you don't know what precipitated the writing of it and what the condition, generally speaking, of all these Jewish believers still living in Israel, they were under the gun, they were under persecution by their Jewish negative counterparts. The Jews did not take kindly to those who walked away from Judaism, salvation by works and all the mess they were in, for these Christians who betrayed us, because they didn't follow in the steps of their parents or whoever. So they were being persecuted. And one of the big areas of their persecution was job persecution. They weren't getting hired. They were being all the rest, all the stuff. So they react. Again, this is an example of humbling yourself under the mighty hand of God, and in due time, he will exalt you. These believers all got a window of opportunity to get out of Israel before the fifth cycle, before the fall of Jerusalem at the hands of the Romans. They got to relocate in different parts of the Greco-Roman world. That was their test. So they got to walk away. Their antagonistic counterparts got crushed by the Roman invasion. So prior to this, a bunch of STA activity going on among believers. What is the source of quarrels and conflicts among you? Verse 1, is that not the source, your pleasures that wage war in your members? We're going to get to that probably Sunday. We're going to get to that. And we're going to deal with the fact that the STA is waging a war. It can be a cold war. It can be a hot war. It can ebb and flow with the real you, the soul, trying to bring you into bondage to its desires and aspirations. And arguing and conflicts, is that war in your members. And of course, a big aspect of members of the body would be the speaking apparatus, saying nasty, the mouth. You lust, that's mental attitude, you do not have. So you commit murder. They weren't killing each other. This is mental attitude murder, hate, because of resentment. If anyone, the thing was, if certain one of them got ahead a little bit, they were all jealous and acting up. There was all these antics. This book is designed to straighten them out and get them out of this kind of spin they're in. There's hope for them. Christians don't sin. Are you kidding me? You are envious and cannot obtain. When people are envious, they're miserable. So you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not even ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, so that you may spend it on your pleasures. You adulteresses, he's dealing with men and women. That's this is spiritual adultery related to what he says here. Do you not know that friendship with the world is hostility toward God? So maybe your deal is, I want to make friends with these people, and maybe that's how I'll get ahead. Friendship with negative volition. Ever heard that one before? I'm not talking about treating people decently. I'm talking about close social fellowship and relationship with negative volition. I've taught it a million times. Why would you want to? Yes, you have to deal with people. You have to deal with them on your job and in different ways. Yes. But with the fact that we want you to come over and go or do this or do that as an example. And they're well-meaning. But no. What your relationship to them is to set an example by word and deed, so they can see in you. And that is a witness. And then opportunity may come to present information. But beyond that, they're not interested. Whoever wishes to be a friend of the cosmos makes himself an enemy of God. So that verse 3 was the one for this. Lack of faith. You don't believe. You're in a mode. This God isn't going to do that. He's going to help me with that. Or just that's faith in the active sense, not lack of doctrine, but lack of faith in the active sense. The doubting Thomas syndrome. Okay? You got a break from that. If you're in the mode, then get it together. Pray. Help me get. I want to offer this prayer up with complete, absolute faith. That's taught in Mark 11:24, James 1:5-8. I already gave you lack of domestic harmony. In that context, it falls at the feet, in this passage, it falls at the feet of the authority over the household, the husband, because he has a lack of understanding towards what is called the weaker vessel. When you're dealing with a woman, you're dealing with a different creature than if you were dealing with a fellow male. And you have to recognize this and cut her a bunch of slack within reason. And be patient. She is the weaker vessel. That wouldn't be popular today out there. But I address those crazies. It's nothing degrading. Oh, and this one. You expect your prayers to be answered and you will not forgive somebody of something. You have to be high in that category. Yes, you can get back out of fellowship and rebound. You are to forgive as Christ forgave, because there are... Jesus said, offenses will come. Someone will offend you. Intentionally, unintentionally, whatever. You will be offended by what they might say or do. You are to forgive them. You expect God to forgive you with a snap of a finger. Forgive as Christ forgave. High order. Can you imagine someone holding a secret grudge constantly? And they're going to deal with this person according to what that person did to them back in the day, even though it might not be some big overt thing, but that's how they deal with it. It's not appropriate. You are to forget it and move on. It was a test, and here we are. And then, of course, simply because you do not ask, James 4:2b, you have not because you ask not. We covered that. Lack of compassion. Lack of compassion. Again, when believers start going south, and I've noticed this in their relationship specifically to me, they change. They probably don't think I notice it. And I'm not trying to judge people unrighteously, but I notice a difference in their demeanor. With regard to me, a lack of understanding, a lack of patience, a lack of kindness. Their usual overtures of kindness, they don't have to be grandiose, they are not there. Where they called me regularly or texted me on issues with regard to stuff, nothing, dead silence. That's not normal. Now, if you got something against me that's stuck in your craw, we can meet in my office and or wherever, and we can discuss it. That's the way you're supposed to operate with regard to any believer. Or just let it go. Drop it. Lack of compassion. I've had people demonstrate compassion towards me in certain issues when I didn't think I even deserved it. But they showed me compassion. It was above and beyond. Well, that one is just, he who shuts his ear to the cry of the poor will also cry himself and not be answered. Well, that's an extreme case. We take care of our own around here. And a number of us, maybe at different times, have been recipients of the grace here at Maranatha Church. Are you listening? And you ought to thank those that are regularly helping you out spiritually, or physically, rather, excuse me. They're helping you, not me. But you ought to show them the gratitude that they've stepped up. God brought them in your life and make things easier for you. What if they weren't doing what they were doing? Continual application. You don't have to fall all over yourself. But it never hurts once in a while to say, you know, I really appreciate what you've done for me. I have no family member, humanly, that would do anything like this. But I have a royal family member that acts like what they should act. And I'm very grateful. Okay, some things to avoid. Traditional lingo. You got to use the thou and the these of Elizabethan English. No, there's not a separate pronoun for God in the second person singular. You. There's not a special holy pronoun. That came down through the King James Version. Vain repetitions. Jesus says, this is what the heathen do. The heathen pray to their deities, and they think that they're going to be answered if they say the phrase over and over and over and over, as in, go somewhere and do 50 Hail Marys. I mean, there's an example. They think if they say it again and again and again, it'll get through. Doesn't mean you can't repeat a prayer, obviously, but we're talking about the ridiculous. God heard you the first time, and you don't even have to say it out loud because he reads the hearts and the minds. And then something you might have ran into, there is a place for a long public prayer. There is a place, but it's rare. And you have some in the Old Testament. But generally, the long, drawn-out prayers of the clergy. Jesus said, the Pharisees stand on the street corner because they got an approbation trend. They want everyone to see them praying, and these long, drawn-out prayers. An example. People think that we're going to eat a meal and you need a 3-minute prayer. You do not. And a lot of these people are just trying to impress. They don't even realize it. They're just trying to impress. Get to the point. You might add something. You know, thank you for this opportunity to have fellowship and for this food that you provide us with. Sanctify it to the nourishment of our bodies. In Jesus' name. Amen. And you eat your food. The Holy Spirit makes total sense out of prayers. This is one of the marquee verses for me with regard to the subject of prayer, because it's very helpful. It's in Romans 8. Some prayers are straightforward. Father, I got to do this. Please help me with this situation. General stuff, special stuff. But some things, the pressure is on, and you feel inadequate with regard to the articulation of a complete prayer covering all the bases. In the same ways, the Spirit also helps our weakness. For we do not know how to pray as we should. But the Spirit Himself intercedes for us. So there's two levels of intercession in a prayer. The Holy Spirit intercedes for us with Christ and onto the Father. Intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. A groaning sanctified. What's that mean? The Holy Spirit knows what you're struggling with as you groan. And he fills in all the blanks and puts it up there as his perfect prayer. And he who searches the hearts knows the mind of the Spirit is, because he intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. All right. So that is what point 11 is devoted to. He takes up the slack where we lack all the facts pertinent to a situation. He He perfects the prayer, brings a complete and accurate petition to the throne of grace. Even our most intense groaning is translated into perfect prayer. The prayers the Holy Spirit delivers are preconditioned by searching each one's heart. God knows what you're thinking, what your desire is. You're at all times, you're transparent to God. Certain people think they can play games with, you can't play games with God. You can play games with people to an extent. So he polishes every true prayer and presents it to God the Son, who in turn intercedes before the Father. That seems to be the process here with regard to the chain of command, with regard to the subject of prayer. Concluding remarks and exhortation. Prayer, like all divine good, falls under the dictum, action with honor. B, prayer is a royal imperative, which we are to be devoted to. Romans 12:12, devoted to prayer. You know what it means to be devoted to something, don't you? Colossians 4:2, devote yourselves to prayer. And those verses in Acts. The local church is to pray for their pastor teacher. Scriptures we've already covered. The pastor teacher is to pray for his congregation, that they who are positive or with it will make the appropriate progress. Certain individuals in the local body have a niche. Might be you. You're more or less homebound, not working legitimately, retired, whatever, or some physical situation, sitting around and watching the TV. Not that you can't watch TV. I'm not being legalistic. It's just, you got to set aside time for prayer, get you a list, and get on with it. Certain individuals in the local body have a niche which permits large amounts of time to devote it to intercessory prayer. Without looking it up, I think it has to do with widows. Exhortations on thanksgiving. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. And all those verses. Thankful for food. Thankful for the response of believers to Bible doctrine. Thankful for ultimate sanctification before we even get it. The promise of a resurrection body. Thankful for believers who serve in the plan of God above and beyond the call of duty. Thankful for the reality behind the Eucharist. One spiritual gift, which you can identify over the course of time. See Doctrine of Spiritual Gifts. You've got at least one. Prayers for others, grace, grace giving, past blessings, surpassing grace blessings in phase 3, Bible doctrine and what it provides, and the establishment chain of command. I am thankful that there is law and order, even in the midst of what's going on out there, so that we can be here and meet and have fellowship and go about our lives. So thankful for those who are functioning in the establishment chain of command, so that we don't have, like in some places, growing anarchy. Final scriptures, Hebrews 4:16, let us therefore draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace in time of need. The psalmist says, 55:16, as for me, in other words, like, I don't know about the rest of you, as for me, I'll call upon God and the Lord will deliver me. That's demonstrating confidence. He's going to bring me through this one. And, of course, Philippians 4:6, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Practice this one. Sounds like a lot. Matthew 21:11, in everything you ask in prayer, believing you shall receive. And then 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. Heavenly Father, thank you for this opportunity. May God the Holy Spirit encourage us with regard to our prayer lives. In Jesus' name, amen.